Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
Want to hire her, but her skin complexion, she's too dark. I happened to be all black female cast of dancers, and I was the darkest one out of all of them. The other ones were probably medium complected. The artist said that I was too dark and didn't want to hire me. Being that one black girl, if you're standing with a group of people, you will stand out. I have to be so amazing that nobody could ever say that my complexion is going to be an issue. It's a choice. The same way that we can have different shapes of bodies on stage, we can have different genders of bodies. All of that is a choice. We can dismantle the thing. We are actively making choices to uphold it. So when we say, well, this is what the client wants, or this is what it wants, but did you introduce the client a different option? So then I navigated that for the next 2 to 3 years. And was having immense difficulty, and if it wasn't for my siblings, I don't know if I would have gone through it because I wasn't really making any money. But I wanted to take pride again in who I was and what made me different from the rest. And so I leaned into my Ghanaian identity, into my African identity, and started just experimenting. Doing my TED Talk was my opportunity to actually heal a lot of what that experience was because I didn't realize that I hadn't. I went into the depths of myself to pull that talk out. It was the first time that I've ever done a public speaking of that magnitude. And I only applied because I didn't think I was gonna get it. And then I did.
Is there any way to see me without seeing my shade? Shadism is about the default preferences that we are born into. And I question how we can break this generational cycle if we don't question those same defaults.
I started thinking about the fact that I did not want to wait for somebody to call me to say that I was good enough. And so the planting seeds of me becoming a choreographer and planting seeds for me to now start to take my identity as an African in the industry because it's so heavily saturated with Caribbean folks, which is not a bad thing, but I wanted to take pride again in who I was and what made me different from the rest.
When I met AC Mensa, I knew her as the trailblazer of Afrofusion in our city and country. Everyone was talking about how she was fusing traditional African movement with contemporary dance movements.
Growing up in Hamilton, I often like to tell people that I was dancing from when I was in my mother's womb. Every Sunday, the AWE Canadian Cultural Organization of Ontario, ECHO is the short form for it, we would come together as community well before I was born. I'm the last child of 5 kids. And it gave us a chance to continue to move in this rhythm as community in this beautiful way, to learn the dances, to hear the songs, to almost feel for them a sense of home, but also more so to offer their children that sense of home. And so I grew up in this rhythm. From, you know, my earliest memories were being in the background trying to dance with all of the elders. It was beautiful. It was beautiful to be able to find rhythm with everybody, to perform and drum with my elders, with folks that we're still connected to in this community. All of them used to dance before me. So it was very much so an intergenerational cycle of those that came and those that left. And as new people, newcomers came into Canada, they would find out about the community, especially if you were AWE, would be a part of the community. I was so grateful that was my first real introduction into movement, was through my culture. If my grandmother was here, I feel like there would just be so much pride in her eyes. As one of the only ones that's committed to bringing a sense of culture an honor to the culture, an honor to the ancestors and what came before me. In my own way through arts, I think there's so much pride. Again, it's taken me a lot of time to just receive it and to receive the gratitude, the fact that I'm listening. I think that that's the part that excites them, is the fact that, yay, someone's listening. Somebody's helping on earth in the present. So that way we can help to just shift what's around us. I think the first time I heard about Afrofuturism was definitely because of Quentin. But I feel like it became really popular during Black Panther. If I were to explain Afrofuturism to my younger self, I would say that it's intentional storytelling. There's so many different ideas and versions of what Afrofuturism is, but I think at its core, it's really about how are you inspired by the past to inform your present, to plant seeds for the future. It was the first time that we got a chance to see and know and feel what we think Afrofuturism is. And I think that because there's so many different ideas, and when you Google search it, you can get everything from technology to a strong literature, academic stream to visual arts. But I think that, again, when we think about it through like a Pan-African lens, I think that Afrofuturism is the ability to bring people together and create a new future. I think it's exciting. But what was interesting, when I first heard about Afrofuturism, I didn't actually think that it applied to me. Five, six, seven. It wasn't until being more connected, especially to the Afrofuturistic community in Toronto, that I all of a sudden started to find my own pathways and realize there's actually a lot of similarities. And I actually see myself as an Afrofuturistic artist. As a movement artist, I do find a way into Afrofuturism, and we are all using an ancestral resilience and ancestral knowledge that we are all, as artists, bringing forward.
Opening the doors for so many choreographers and doing such big projects and productions, and she really pushes what a dancer, a movement director could be in terms of how she was telling her stories, especially as it relates to her Afrofuturistic productions.
I think for me, especially in the realm of ancestors, as that journey has been something that I have been on for, I would say now, about 10 years, I think that there's a deep sense of bringing forth my culture and heritage as somebody that was raised both Ghanaian and Togolese in West Africa. My elders, my grandparents, I've only had the chance of meeting one of my grandparents. Only one of them was alive by the time I went back to Ghana for the first time. Different people that I have not known, but are walking with me as I continue to move through this journey, especially as I'm the only artist in my family. And on top of that, I feel like they've added to the charge of what my purpose is. 5, 6, 7, and ki ka ka ki ka 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 ki ki ya pa 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 ki ki ka. Growing up in a Ghanaian household, being an artist wasn't necessarily the thing. I'm sure every immigrant household would say, you have to be a doctor, you need to be a lawyer, you need to be an architect. You could be anything but an artist. And I push up against that, because who else is better to showcase your heritage, taking an essence of the past, and through the movement, by taking in both traditional and contemporary African movement and fusing it with the other styles of dances that I've also been trained in. I would sit with my VHS in my parents' house downstairs as I would replay Janet Jackson videos. That was always my favorite. Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson, Britney Spears. Just replay the movement. Brazilian samba, house, hip hop, the bits of jazz that I've done. There's a plethora of movement, and also influenced within Caribbean movement, dancehall specifically, and soca. So all of those things, I find the synergy. But more than anything, I find the through line between the movement. So go option one, right into option two. I know so many people like to say dance is universal. And I remember being at a talk a number of years ago, and a gentleman said, dance isn't universal, movement is universal. And that really opened up my eyes, and I was like, oh wait, yeah, you're right. I stand here in this building, Canada's National Ballet School. As I teach these students, I try to get them to understand the through line, that the same three steps that you might do in ballet, done with a different intention, all of a sudden we can drop into Afrofusion. Done with a different intention, we can drop into a house movement, or we can drop into a samba movement. The spiritual aspect was the charge that made me want to create what I'm creating now. When I started training, I started feeling the presence of my ancestors. I had been dancing commercially. I've had a career for about 5 years up until this point. How come I've never felt this when I've danced? I was feeling something deeply spiritual. I was able to take all of the bits of the work that have existed around me and found a place for it. My ancestors asked me to go into this, and they're prompting me to ask these deep questions, and it could cause pain, and I could see it and I could feel it. And so now for me, having gone through that, when I enter into a space, I want to know that I can ask you these questions, not to dismantle you, but to let you know that in asking you these questions, they also will feed into the work that we're doing. Kika, kika, ka, ooh. And here, for your last one. Yeah? Yeah. When I work with dancers, I want them to know that it is okay to invest more than just your body into your art, and that you can invest your spirit. So as an artist, as a spiritual artist, I come into spaces vulnerable to give people a chance to hopefully let go of their guards, to meet me where I am at. I encourage folks to meet me where they are at. I think for me, at this state in my career, I want people to see themselves in the work that I am doing. So whether it's working in theater or you hear me speaking, that you can feel yourself in the journey that I've gone through, and that hopefully inspires you in some way. And I feel like that is part of the legacy that I want to leave.
The Agenda with Steve Paikin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.